snabbt den. Över nejden gick låten av spelet och skratten. Det var tjo, det var hopp, det var hej.
Karlstad, Minnesota is 4,004 miles from Karlstad, Sweden. But a poet with roots in northwest Minnesota brought the two communities together for an afternoon with a presentation at the Northwest Regional Library branch in Karlstad, Minnesota. Scott Cameron shared the history, the climate, industry, and culture of his wife's hometown of Karlstad, Sweden. Part of the story is the music you're hearing now from Swedish rock and roll Hall of Famers, the Sven Ingvars. The Beatles were a warm-up band for the group in 1963. Scott Cameron is originally from Red Lake Falls and now makes his home in England. He was back in northwest Minnesota on tour to promote his new book, In Absentia, a collection of poetry written from 1991 to 2017.
Welcome everybody, and it's wonderful to be here in Karlstad, Sweden. Karlstad, Minnesota. I have the honor of telling you a little bit about Karlstad, Sweden. And as I said to you before, I was married in Karlstad in 1990, and I've been married to a Swede from Karlstad for the last 30 years. And we have two kids. They both speak Swedish. They've been raised in England, but they were actually born in Connecticut, so there's some relatively confused children. But what I'd like to do is kind of tell you a little bit about Karlstad, Sweden, and just compare it a little bit to Karlstad, Minnesota, so you get kind of a feel about this area, where the people came from that founded Karlstad back in 1905. The motto of Karlstad, Sweden is Sola I Karlstad, and the first thing I can tell you about Karlstad in Sweden is that we don't say Karlstad. It's a dialect in Swedish which is very country-sounding. In the province of Värmland, of which Karlstad is located, people don't tend to say the ends of words. So instead of saying Karlstad, you say Karlstad. And many other words in nouns in the Swedish language are also cut off like that. So when I tell people in Sweden that I'm doing a presentation, I tell them I'm doing it in Karlstad, Minnesota, rather than Karlstad. So that's a basic difference. The other difference is Karlstad, Minnesota's motto is the moose capital of the north. The motto in Karlstad is Sole Karlstad, and that means the sun in Karlstad. And it has a double meaning, really, because people think of Karlstad as a very sunny place. And it is actually, because of the way the jet stream comes across the Atlantic and up towards Sweden, it does tend to have actually a much more sunny climate than a lot of the other areas of Sweden. But Sole Karlstad, the sun in Karlstad, was actually a waitress who had a really sunny disposition and gained a reputation that anybody that was going through Karlstad would stop and go to this particular restaurant to be served by this wonderful woman named Sola. And so they've actually created a statue of her, and it's actually sitting right by the river, the Klädalen River, which goes through Karlstad. The only thing that's funny about it is if you go to look at the statue, it's very, very difficult to ever get a picture of the statue with the sun on Sola. But I promise you that if you go to Karlstad and you look at this statue, or go on Wikipedia and try to find it under Karlstad, Sweden, you'll see that it's equally dark and there's like overcast clouds over it. It's bizarre. To do a comparison of Karlstad, Sweden, and Karlstad, Minnesota, outside of the fact that they're both relatively northern climates and on the edges of the wilderness, where there's a tremendous amount of timber industry, there are quite a few differences between the two. Karlstad, Sweden was founded in 1584. Now, that's what the time that Karlstad became Karlstad. People have lived in this area for millennia, and we'll talk about that in just a second. Whereas Karlstad, Minnesota was founded in 1905 after Carl August Carlson, an immigrant from Sweden, had settled here, and after the Soo Line Railroad bought his land, Karlstad was eventually created. I might not be here giving this presentation about Karlstad because originally I think there was a couple of other names that were bantered about. It was known as Klingville from 1904 to 1905, and when it was first platted, it was platted as a town of Clayton before them settling on Karlstad. It's quite a long time difference between when the actual cities were founded, but we do know that the immigrants that created Karlstad, many of them were from Värmland in central Sweden. The populations are dramatically different. Karlstad and surrounding area is just over 90,000 people, whereas we know that Karlstad, Minnesota is about 760, according to the 2010 census data. The temperatures are quite interesting because if you look at the average annual temperatures, they look sort of the same. The average annual temperature in Karlstad, Sweden is 44.1 Fahrenheit, and in Karlstad, Minnesota, it's 37.7 Fahrenheit. Although they look the same, they really aren't, because the Swedish climate, where Karlstad, it is very moderated by a couple of things. One is the way the jet stream comes across, a lot more warmer air comes up into that area of Sweden. The second thing that's a major determinant, you'll see from the geography, the Karlstad is located at the top of the largest lake in Europe, Vänern, sort of a Lake Superior type of lake. And that lake moderates the temperatures in Karlstad. So you really see that when you look at the mean temperature in January in Karlstad, Minnesota, is just 0.5 Fahrenheit, whereas in Karlstad it's much warmer, 22.6 Fahrenheit. And in the summertime, you get much hotter, average temperature of 67 versus in Karlstad, where the temperature is just over 63. So what you see from Karlstad, Minnesota, is the climate's much more extreme than it is in Karlstad, Sweden. But if you get farther north from Karlstad into the Värmlands province, you start to see more of the harsher temperature differences like you have here. And one of the reasons why we have the Scandinavian immigration into this area is because the Swedes and the Norwegians came a little bit later than the immigrants from England, Ireland, etc. So they occupied much of the land was settled before they came over. The Swedish immigration was in the beginning of the 1900s. It took people as hardy as the Swedes and the Norwegians and the Finns to be able to settle in this area and not be intimidated by how cold it was. And in fact, be so overcome by how wonderful the land was to farm and for agriculture, etc. You did have people used to the cold, but I don't think they were quite as ready for how cold it was really going to be here or how warm it was going to be in the summer.
Red Lake Falls native Scott Cameron toured Northwest Regional Library's branches to read from his new poetry collection, In Absentia. While in Karlstad, Minnesota, he connected that town with his wife's hometown of Karlstad, Sweden.
Karlstad, Sweden sits on about 7.5 times more land than Karlstad, Minnesota does. But just to hook you in with the geography, Karlstad is located in the center of Sweden. If you were to take Oslo, Norway to the west and Stockholm, Sweden to the east, and you sort of drew a line across, about in the middle you'd run into Karlstad. As I said, it's on the top of a huge lake, Vänern, which goes all the way from where Karlstad is down. You can actually go by water down to Gothenburg and then out into the Baltic Sea. That means that even though Karlstad's sitting in the middle of that country, the timber, the iron ore, the manufacturing could still be shipped via this lake to anywhere in the world. And that gave Karlstad a chance to be productive beyond what you would think for a town that's actually located relatively centrally within Sweden. Vänern is actually larger than any other lake within Europe, except there are two lakes in the Ukraine, which are larger, but most people don't consider Ukraine technically part of the Europe that we know. If we look at Karlstad itself, it's actually located on a delta. And it's not just any delta. It's located on the delta of the largest river in Sweden, Klarälven. And Klarälven actually starts up in northern Norway and comes down all the way into Karlstad, where it spreads out. As it spreads out, you have any number of different channels that work their way into Vänern, the huge lake. And so the city was built all around this incredible delta. When you look at Karlstad from the air, it's a tremendously beautiful city, especially in the summertime. There are canals, and at one main canal, which connects part of the Klarälven River to another braid of the Klarälven River, because they have different water levels to allow boats instant access to the harbor, which is just to the south of Karlstad, which allows them then access to Vänern, which could allow them then to go, the larger ships, to go wherever they wanted to, but in particular down to Gothenburg, to the main port. The next thing I want to talk about is the history of Karlstad. Karlstad has a fascinating history. If we go before the Viking time, we can go back to the Stone Age almost. In Karlstad itself, in areas around Karlstad, you'll find rings that are not unlike Stonehenge. They are like Stonehenge, except they're much smaller. And they're called, in Swedish, they're called domringa. And domring means judgment circle. And they don't really know, the same way they don't know from Stonehenge, exactly what the purpose of these rings were, but we do believe that they were some sort, used for some sort of a judiciary function or a council of that nature. But it's very difficult to know, and many of the Dome rings have been repositioned, etc., so you're never quite certain exactly how they were originally situated. So that's still a mystery that still people are still attempting to understand. But you also have tons of Bronze Age artifacts around Karlstad. Where I live outside of, just north of Karlstad, there's a huge old graveyard. It's not a typical graveyard, it's mounds. They excavated these in the 1900s, and they found out that they were dated back to about 500 BC. And so when they buried a person of some stature, they actually buried the person with a lot of different objects, and they built a huge mound, and the bigger the person, the bigger the mound. You'll still see to this day the clear landscape where all the mounds are located and where all the burials took place. The place that's just north of Karlstad, which is probably one of the most famous, is called Runevalls Graveyard. But it shows you that people have lived around Karlstad for millennia. The next big period of time was to remember is the Vikings. And the Viking Age really happened in medieval times. Around 1000 AD, we know there was a town at Karlstad called Tingvalla. And it's not strange to think that there would be a large marketplace town in a place like Tingvalla, because it sat at the bottom of the longest river in Sweden, on top of the biggest lake in Sweden. So from early days, it had a very big importance. When you think about Tingvalla, everybody obviously wants to associate it with the Vikings, but we don't really trace the true Viking history to Karlstad itself. Most of the Viking history that we find in artifacts tend to be more towards the Stockholm area on that side of the Baltic, or in Norway, because this is really quite central Sweden. I haven't been able to find a lot on the Viking presence in Karlstad. Karlstad was founded in 1584 by, at that time, Duke Karl, who became King Karl the Ninth of Sweden. In English, we often say King Charles, but it was actually Kung Karl the Ninth. Karlstad was destroyed by fire after fire after fire. The last fire that destroyed almost the entire town except for the cathedral was the fire that happened in 1865. And it left only a couple of old wooden houses along one branch of the Klarälven. And it was because it had rained heavily that morning. And those houses were one of the few houses that were surrounded by birch trees that were soaked with water. That miraculously protected them during a fire that destroyed the rest of the town, except for one building, the Karlstad Cathedral. There's not a lot of surviving architecture from that period, but the architecture isn't so much wood now. And the layout of the town is much more planned, because when you have big fires like that, it makes it possible then for you to come up with a new town plan. Like as you did in London when you had the big fires, they all of a sudden created the larger avenues and had different building codes to make sure that those fires weren't going to replicate. Because similar fires were happening all over the world at that time, at the end of the 1800s. If you remember the Great Chicago Fire, the Great Fire in London, etc., these were all things that required us to look very closely at how we built cities, and Karlstad was no exception. The last and most kind of exciting thing of modern history is the Karlstad Treaty of 1905. This was the treaty that finally gave Norway, after hundreds and hundreds of years of being controlled by the Danes and then the Swedes, their autonomy. And if you listen to it from a Swede's perspective, and if you listen to it from a Norwegian's perspective, you'll get dramatically different stories about what happened. The Swedes feel that they were very benevolent people who altruistically decided to give the Norwegians their independence, whereas the Norwegians had fought hard for their independence, and the settlement that was reached in Karlstad was most likely the alternative to Sweden and Norway going to war. And they had already been at war when you had the treaty before the Treaty of Karlstad. There was a convention of Moss which ended the fighting between Sweden and Norway in 1814. But that granted basically Sweden control over Norway, although it did not entirely suspend the Norwegian constitution. If you go into the center of Karlstad today, you'll see a statue, which is known as the ugliest statue in Sweden. And it's not because of the beautiful woman with the broken sword, but it's because she's stepping on what looks like a German helmet. And inside the German helmet is a skull with triangular-shaped teeth. And it's from 1955 that it was done, and it's called the Peace Monument. For the people of Karlstad, they think of this as, you know, the decision to break the sword and do the treaty and not have a war between Sweden and Norway. But you have to remember that Norwegians were very, very upset about what happened during World War II. Because on April 9th, 1940, the Germans' Blitzkrieg ended Norwegian independence that had been granted in Karlstad in 1905. So the poor Norwegians then had to suffer under occupation from April 1941 until almost May of 1945. The Norwegians are actually incredibly proud of their heritage and also of their independence. I've never lived in a country that had such a strong feeling of national pride in their independence. There's a tremendous amount of collegiality and a common origin of Swedes and Norwegians. But even more so than that is the collegiality between the people of Värmlands province, which is the province of Sweden that's right next to Norway. And during World War II, there was a tremendous resistance movement. And the resistance existed not only in Oslo and in Norway and northern Norway, but also in Värmlands province. And Värmlands province, the people from Karlstad in Sweden, were instrumental in that move, in the resistance against the German occupation. And they did everything they could to try to help the Norwegians any way that they could during that period of time. The role of Sweden during World War II could be debated ad nauseum, but at least we can know that from a people's perspective, there was a tremendous amount of goodwill during that period of time and true helpfulness between the people. You can draw a border between Norway and Sweden, but the demarcation is relatively artificial. As you move towards the Norwegian border from Värmlands in the west, you'll see that there's not even a strong difference between the local dialects of the languages, Norwegian and Swedish.
We're listening to Red Lake Falls native Scott Cameron, who toured Northwest Regional Library's branches to read from his new poetry collection, In Absentia. In Karlstad, Minnesota, he compared that town with his wife's hometown of Karlstad, Sweden.
If you ever get a chance to visit Karlstad, Sweden, there's a beautiful museum called the Värmlands Museum in the center of Karlstad, and it has a huge collection of artifacts. Karlstad in Sweden is the center of Värmland, so you have a huge area of western Sweden where all the things that they found, etc., you can see in that one place. The local economy of Karlstad, Sweden, it's a tremendous amount of forestry. The Klarälven River was used to ship timber down to the mills in Karlstad before it was then sent off wherever it was going to go or needed. Anywhere in the world, frankly, because in Karlstad you had a port that could load timber and take it anywhere in the world. The same was true with the iron ore reserves in northern Sweden, not unlike Minnesota, you know, where our iron ore went to Duluth and then through the Great Lakes. They could do the same thing with the iron ore, which was being mined in the 1800s, to Värnamo and then use it also that as a major transportation hub. The pulp and the paper industry still continue to be a feature of the local economy in Karlstad, Sweden. You have some of the largest paper companies have major mills and plants around Karlstad. They aren't so much local owned anymore. Like everything else, there's a globalization. So global ownership, share ownership of these companies is the predominant feature. So the global economy is doing what it's doing all over the world. It's taking away some of the regional autonomy that some of the businesses had. Sweden is a social democracy, and as such, they have a large public sector of employment. So in Sweden, you have a huge healthcare industry because they have something similar to what we have in England, something like the NHS, where you have free healthcare. Karlstad is a regional hospital for a large region of Sweden. As the center of that region, tremendous amount of people that work within the medical profession work in Karlstad. And that doesn't only mean the people that actually work at the hospitals, etc. It's the supply industries that support those hospitals, etc. So that's a big segment of the population is people that work within the healthcare industry. The other one is that Karlstad University was created in 1999. When it got university status, which is a special status in Sweden, it allowed it to grow tremendously since then. And it plays an important role because in Sweden, the universities can also help new businesses start out. So the existence of Karlstad University since 1999 has been something that drives the economy, actually, by creating IT companies and other companies. The new economy, which we're seeing, you know, popping up around even, and we see in northern Minnesota, the newer companies that are joining are there that weren't there before, like DigiKey, for example, or these other companies which don't have traditional industry models. The next topic I'm going to talk about is the culture of Karlstad, Sweden. And the three areas that I'm going to talk about are literature, music, and sport. In literature, it's amazing to think that Karlstad, Sweden gave us, well, just north of Karlstad, Sweden, Selma Lagerlöf. She was the first winner of the Nobel Prize in Literature, a female winner of the Nobel Prize in Literature. And she wrote in the Swedish language, but was translated throughout Europe. Her stories aren't that popular, but they have been translated into English as the Gösta Berling saga. is probably her most famous one, but she's also written Jerusalem and The Wonderful Adventures of Niels. That is an incredible children's book which taught people geography throughout Sweden. It's about a little boy who goes on his goose and flies over Sweden, and it's an opportunity for her to talk about the geography and places within Sweden. And that book's been translated, is very popular in Germany and other places. So it's quite amazing that a place like Karlstad, Sweden, and the north of Värmland could produce someone as famous as her. She was so popular that she actually had droves of Europeans coming up to see Lake Fryken, the lake that's just north of Karlstad, and take the steamboats rides back and forth down that lake because of the beautiful way she described it in the Gustav Berling saga. In terms of other famous authors, the next most famous one has to be Gustav Fröding. Gustav Fröding was a poet. He had a tremendously hard life. He was a journalist as well, but he was usually located in Karlstad when he wasn't in mental health institutions. He did spend, he had three times that he was in mental health institutions, but they were relatively productive times for his poetry. He's very difficult to translate into English, and that's why you probably haven't heard of Gustav Fröding, but if you were a Swede, you would probably consider him to be one of your greatest poets. And what's quite interesting about Gustav Fröding is that modern artists began to start looking at his poetry and they realized that it had a lyrical quality to it. And so musicians started taking the text from his poems and putting them to music. And the group that was probably the most successful at doing that was a band called the Sven Ingvars. If you heard them, they wouldn't be out of place in northern Minnesota in the latter 1950s or early 1960s. That's when they started out in 1956. They toured Sweden for over 60 years, and they actually played at my wedding. They were a wonderful band. Unfortunately, they're not really known in America because they spent most of their time on the Swedish Top 10. In tribute to this band, they were inducted into the Swedish Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2016. But I mention them because they are associated entirely with Karlstad, Sweden, the music that they came up with. Also, tragically this year, Sven-Erik Magnusson, who was one of the founding members, died of prostate cancer this past year. And he was a wonderful man, and he was really the front man for the band for all those years. And he actually sang at my father-in-law's funeral at the Dome Church, the cathedral in Karlstad, together with his son. So he has a special meaning in our family, which is probably why I put him here instead of ABBA, but no, it was because they're from Karlstad. The other thing to know about Karlstad, Sweden, is it's insane about its sports. It really is. Karlstad is the home of the greatest Swedish hockey team, which is Färjestad. If I said that in Sweden right now, I would probably be attacked by about seven or eight other teams. But the truth is that Färjestad has won more Swedish national championships than any other team. And the quality of the hockey within Sweden is a very high level at the top. There's many different leagues, but the highest league, most of the people that are good in that league as young players will be taken up by the NHL right away. That's why when you look at what happened to when you looked at the Olympics this year, the ice hockey tournament was a bit of a joke because Canada didn't have its NHL players, the United States didn't have its NHL players, Sweden could put two teams out of NHL players that it didn't have access to, the same as the Finns. So all of a sudden, you're seeing a country like Germany go to the semifinals, or they went to the gold medal match, they beat Canada, they beat Sweden. That would never happen if we had the NHL there. Just like Canada and the United States, the Swedish hockey is at such a level that the good players end up in the NHL. Whereas Russia still has its own domestic league where they have a tremendous amount of talent. So the Russians could once again be dominant in hockey. And then countries like Germany could all of a sudden have a presence in the Olympic that they never would have. To prove that, we actually have two people playing for the Minnesota Wild right now, which are actually from Karlstad and also came through the Fiasted hockey program. And that's Jonas Brodin, a young defenseman, and Joel Eriksson Ek, who are current members of the Wild. Other thing, while we're talking about the Olympics, curling, if I don't know how many people watched the final of the curling when the United States won the gold medal. I can guarantee you everybody in Sweden was watching it.
It was exciting.
It is exciting. And Karlstad is a hotbed for curling in Sweden, actually. And if you looked at that match, you would have seen that the skipper from the Swedish team was a guy named Niklas Edin, and he's from Karlstad, and his team's from Karlstad. So they were incredibly upset to lose the gold medal, whereas a lot of Americans don't really follow curling that much in Sweden, and particularly in Karlstad. That was a very big deal. I have to mention bandy real quick. I know that I'm probably taking longer than I should on this, but bandy is an incredible sport. It was actually more popular than hockey in Karlstad. Two of the largest bandy clubs were from Karlstad, and they merged together. Bandy's fallen out of favor since the mid-80s as hockey took over. But bandy's like field hockey with those types of stick played on skates on a rink that's the size of a football field. If you can imagine that, it's an incredibly fun sport to watch, but obviously lost a bit of popularity. The other thing that's interesting is the Karlstad actually has, are you ready for this? The Karlstad Crusaders. And the Karlstad Crusaders have won the Swedish championship in American football. And Sweden is one of the only countries with an American football league. And Karlstad has one of the better teams in Sweden. There's obviously lots of other sports, as you can see. Orienteering, which is a strange type of marathoning with a map, which is popular. They've never been quite good at soccer in Karlstad, probably because the kids play a lot of hockey.
Det var i vår ungdoms fagraste vår. Man hade gått och läst om man var 17 år.
Scott Cameron's professional life in law and banking has taken him all around the world. His poetry brought him back to Red Lake Falls and other Northwest Regional Library branches for a book tour in early March. Scott read from his new book, In Absentia, and drew comparisons between Karlstad, Minnesota and Karlstad, Sweden. Broadcast and streaming of this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Produced by Pioneer 90.1 KSRQ in Thief River Falls.
Som blånor i kroppen hade man då. Man måste absolut bort till festplatsen gå. Och fortskaffningsmedel hade vi med. Vi åkte fyra man på en gammal motor.